This is Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. We got a lot on our plate today. A lot of basketball news to start us off. Paolo Banchero got paid. We'll talk a little bit about the Pacers and Tyrese Halliburton. Some events on the field last night and off as well. We'll talk about that. We got play it or pass it today. We also got John McKechnie joining us. And we also have a little bit of baseball picks at the end of the show as well. We're looking forward to a fun show. Nick, let's start off. Orlando Magic, Paolo Banchero got his Supermax rookie extension extraordinaire. I'm making some extra words in there, but he got in a pretty big deal there, a five-year deal that could get up to $287 million.
And rightfully so. Rightfully so. I think Banchero has been everything the Magic hoped he would be and more so far. You know, obviously, Orlando's one of those teams that feels like has a ton of momentum now heading into next season. They make the big trade for Desmond Bain, you know, really for the first time in, I don't know, 15 plus years, Jeff, we're going into a season talking about the possibility of the Orlando Magic, you know, being an Eastern Conference finalist. That was just never in the cards at any point until Paolo Banchero showed up. And, you know, the Bain addition is really interesting. You know, obviously Franz Wagner has emerged as a really nice number two option, but Paolo Banchero being Paolo Banchero is the reason that the Magic are where they are. So, you know, anytime you see one of these contract numbers, you know, especially as we go from CBA to CBA and the numbers only grow and grow, you know, you see $287 million. That seems crazy, but that's a going rate. You know, when you have one of the best young players in the NBA, who looks like he's going to be, you know, a borderline first, second team all NBA guy for the next decade, easy decision if you're the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're, like you said, they're all in. I like seeing that. Everybody sees blood in the water with Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton out for the season. You know, it's a big chance for teams to kind of that maybe didn't think they had much of a chance earlier to kind of push forward. It's also in the East where we saw the Pacers kind of did everybody a favor in a way in the East. Like, hey, this is possible. This isn't up against, you're not up against OKC in the West here. This, and that you can actually put it all together and go on a run there. Yeah, and you're right about the Magic. I mean, you're looking at basically like the Van Gundy years there where they lost in the finals, lost in the conference finals. The 08-09 and 09-10 teams, that's the last time you had this sort of hope with the Magic there. The peak Dwight Howard years, basically.
Yes, we're going all the way back to Rashard Lewis, Hedo Turkoglu, Jameer Nelson, whose son now is playing in the NBA Summer League. That's how far we've come. But it's been a long time. I mean, they're one of these franchises that has just kind of flown under the radar, just hasn't been all that relevant, and you know, finally hit a big with Paolo Banchero. And it's like if you're a team like the Wizards or the Hornets, like this, that's the type of guy you've been hoping for, right? That's why you tank, is to get a prospect like Banchero. Now, I do think Orlando still has some work to do building out the rest of this roster. Easier said than done, of course, when you got Banchero on a max, you got Desmond Bain making a ton of money. You got a decision to make on Franz Wagner, of course, as well. But they do get Jalen Suggs back. I think that's going to be huge. I think if anything, you kind of sell that as your other quote unquote addition beyond bringing in Desmond Bain. But they're going to be asking a lot of Anthony Black going into year three. You know, I like the addition on the margin, bringing in Tyus Jones. You know, it was a team that felt like it just didn't have a point guard for a lot of last season, but wing depth, I think, is going to be key. If they can work the margins, if they can bring in some veterans to fill minutes at the three, at the four, that's where this team is really thin. But you absolutely have to view Orlando as a contender right now, given the landscape in the Eastern Conference. I can't remember a season, Jeff, where a conference has felt this wide open, where there are truly five, six, seven teams that you could really sell me on, you know, if things break a certain way.
Yeah, Magic are third favorite in the East right now behind the Cavs and the Knicks. They're plus 550. Is that a good price? Would you play it?
I don't love it at plus 550. Like I just said, there are enough question marks with this roster. Like Cleveland is going to be really, really good, right? They're basically running it back with a team that won, you know, easily 60 plus games last season, could have even pushed for 70 wins if they really wanted to. You know, I think there's a lot of continuity with the New York Knicks. Like those teams are still, to me, markedly better than Orlando. I think I would need closer to, you know, 8-9 to 1 to be really enticed by that. But I mean, just the fact that they are plus 550 right now, I think speaks to the amount of momentum that this team has. Like, when's the last time that someone's been excited to, you know, text your friend and be like, hey, I just bet the Orlando Magic to win the Eastern Conference?
Right, exactly. It's funny to me, actually, too, that the next two teams on the in the Eastern Conference listed in terms of betting favorites are two teams that didn't make the playoffs in the 76ers and the Hawks, you know, 10-1 and 11-1, respectively. And we've talked before about the Hawks having a good offseason. The Sixers, I mean, they lucked into a high pick. So, you know, it's for them, it's obviously just a case of what are they going to get out of their injured stars? You know, is this the year that they stay healthy? You know, that's just the thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Sixers, I think, are kind of the Eastern Conference version of the Clippers in a lot of ways. It's the same questions that we've asked about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you know, over the years. And obviously now they have Paul George and they are experiencing what the Clippers went through for the previous three seasons. And yeah, it's hard for me to say, you know, look into the camera and be like, yes, you should bet the 76ers to win the East. I mean, talent-wise, if Embiid does play 60 games and if Paul George plays 68 games, like they're right there with the Cavaliers. They're right there with the New York Knicks. But there's a reason that the Sixers are priced where they are, because the risk to me far exceeds the reward with this team, as we were, you know, harshly reminded last season.
Indeed. Harsh is a good word to describe the Pacers. 30-1 in the East to win the East, and they confirmed yesterday that Tyrese Halliburton had surgery on that Achilles tendon and is out for the full season coming up. Mm-hmm. They also already lost Miles Turner. Tough offseason for the Pacers. Obviously, losing Halliburton changes maybe even the style of play. Who knows what we'll get out of him coming up the following season?
Yeah, I think this is smart by the Pacers. You know, it's not major news, right? It's like, yeah, we already knew this. Tyrese Halliburton tore his Achilles in the NBA Finals in late June. We knew he wasn't going to play next season, but coming out and saying that, you know, not even leaving the door open for this lingering possibility that, oh, he's ahead in his recovery and, you know, maybe he could push to be back toward the end of the regular season, or if they make the playoffs, he could come back. I don't think you want that hanging over the franchise. I don't think you want that hanging over Tyrese Halliburton's rehab. Everything the Pacers have done over the last 2 weeks or not done has basically indicated that, look, we're not going to pay the luxury tax for a team that has no chance to win in the immediate future. And we're going to try to rebuild this thing or reset this thing as well as we can around Tyrese Halliburton starting in 2026-27. So I think it's smart. I think it's smart. And really, Jeff, the ideal scenario for the Indiana Pacers right now is to probably finish as low as they can in the Eastern Conference next season and, you know, get a high draft pick, you know, do the move that we've seen work every now and then for teams over the years. When you have a big injury like this, there's no real merit in like pushing to be the 8 or the 9 in the East when you don't have any chance to really do anything in the postseason without Tyrese Halliburton. Be as bad as you can, lose as many games as you can. It's brutal for a team that was just in the NBA Finals, but it's an easy sell when Tyrese Halliburton is injured. And you could kind of see what this team could be if you were able to add a high lottery pick in what should be a really nice 2026 NBA draft. One more thing, Jeff, that I want to get in on the Pacers. This was kind of flying under the radar because it happened in the middle of the NBA Finals. But the day after Tyrese Halliburton suffered the calf injury, not the torn Achilles, just the initial calf injury, the Pacers very shrewdly reacquired their 2026 first-round pick from the Pelicans. They sent the draft rights to some guy, Mojave King, who may never play in the NBA, and sent another first round pick to get their own pick back. Look, maybe it was just a coincidence that 5 days later, Tyrese Halliburton tore his Achilles. But to me, that was a really, really smart and shrewd move, knowing that, look, Halliburton's going to push through this. We saw what happened with Damian Lillard. We saw what just happened with Jason Tatum. We know this is a possibility. We have to protect ourselves in the worst case scenario, which is exactly what unfolded in game 7.
Yep. I think that's very shrewd. And I think it was this year's draft pick, right? Aza Newell, who the Pelicans used in that, I believe. So really, really smart.
Yeah.
Knowing that, okay, you could be at the bottom of the first round this year, or you could get something higher next year. Absolutely. I like it. I like it quite a bit. And here's the thing. The Pacers, like I've said, they've never had draft luck. They, you know, draft lottery luck.
No.
Even when they've been hella bad, they had the number 2 pick a couple of times. But it was always the wrong year to have it, or the wrong guy they got, perhaps, too. So for them, they've done well to find like a Granger, finding guys like that in the middle of the draft that they've been able to do. Right. Miles Turner, I think, was a 6 overall pick, if I
recall
correctly.
Paul George, even.
But yeah. So that's the thing. Getting a higher pick would be a beautiful thing for them. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about the Brewers getting that win yesterday over the Dodgers. But first, did you know that RotoWire is a brand new look and an even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant, to get real-time insights as you draft, customize your own strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, and get 50% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. All right, Nick. I had a tough day with my baseball bets yesterday, but we did get the Brewers money line over the Dodgers, and that one, I mean, it was looking pretty good after a two-thirds of an inning in the bottom of the first inning there when Yamamoto couldn't get out of the first.
I don't know, man. I saw you on the leaderboard in the Daily VSiN recap email this morning, so I think you're doing just fine here. But you were all over this Brewers call yesterday. Brewers play the Dodgers again tonight, of course, game two of that series. Disastrous outing last night for Yoshi Yamamoto. Didn't even make it out of the first inning. 41 pitches. You know, Andrew Vaughn, who, of course, the Brewers acquired in that Savali trade with the White Sox, three-run homer in the first inning to kick it off. There's a big throwing error by Mookie Betts, and this game just completely got away from the LA Dodgers early on, who've now dropped four in a row. Get to see Mizorowski on the mound tonight, Jeff. So interested to see if you'll be diving back in on Milwaukee.
Yeah, up against Clayton Kershaw on that one. I'm going to keep everybody waiting with bated breath on that one there, but should be a fun matchup there. Dodgers bullpen carrying a heavy, heavy load lately there. Remember, they got swept over the weekend by the Astros. Yep. We got worked really, really hard there. We'll decide whether to play or pass that, as well as other bets, because that's right, play it or pass it is coming up next here on VSiN on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back here on Prop Points. It's time for Play It or Pass It. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We're going to start off with some football Play It or Pass It's here. And starting off with the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick, Kansas City Chiefs over 4.5 division wins at plus 180.
Yeah, this is a good poll by our producer, Wyatt, looking at the division wins market, not one that I've really examined a whole lot in the past, but we're getting this at plus 180, so I think there is reasonable value to consider. The Chiefs, of course, have completely dominated this division, really going back a decade plus at this point. They're 24-6 against the AFC West over the last five seasons. They're 51-9 if you go all the way back to 2015. And of course, you know, since Patrick Mahomes has taken over, that's just been exacerbated in terms of their dominance. You look at last season, they were 5-1 in their divisional games. The only loss came in the final game of the year against Denver. I believe that was 38-0 when the Chiefs benched literally everybody. So very easily could have been 6-0 in division. With that said, even at pretty reasonable value here, I think I will pass this one. You know, all five of those wins were one score games against the AFC West last season. Three of them were 2-point wins. There was the blocked field goal game against Denver. There was the Aiden O'Connell fumble game on Thanksgiving weekend when the Raiders were in position to potentially kick a field goal and win that game. They had the walk-off field goal to beat the Chargers the following week. It was the story of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I do think KC's offense will be better this season with Rice, with Hollywood, with Worthy, all healthy together. I think this could finally be the year that they start to look a little bit more like the Chiefs. They're not pulling out these like 19-17 wins every single week, but the Chargers are a really good team. Denver is a really good team. The Raiders, I think, will be feistier than they were last season. And two of the seven losses, by the way, in the Mahomes starting era have come to Vegas. Like even when the Chiefs are rolling and Vegas is at its worst, like the Raiders always do find a way to play the Chiefs well. So I think this is reasonable at plus 180, but I think this is maybe a 3 or 4 win season in division for KC.
Yeah, I get it. And even that Chargers game, remember that walk-off field goal was off the inside of the upright too.
It sure was.
By the backup kicker, or maybe even the backup to the backup. They had all sorts of crazy stuff going on last year.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are jumping on the Chiefs now because of seeing the positive reports about Rashee Rice, both on how he looks and also his legal outlook there. It looks like less likely that he's going to be serving any sort of suspension. So, I think people are kind of pushing back on the Chiefs. I think that price hasn't adjusted enough, or like has adjusted already too much. I don't know. I'm trying to say is I don't think I like it either. Is what I'm getting at here. Let's move on. Carolina Panthers, to finish second in the NFC South, plus 265. Bucks, Falcons, Saints, also in the division. Obviously, they finished third last year. Do you play it or pass it?
This is another one that would be a pass for me, and I'll explain why. Again, I think this is reasonable at plus 265, but I am definitely higher on the Atlanta Falcons than the market is in general. I think Atlanta is like plus 160 right now to make the playoffs in the NFC. I think that's pretty reasonable as far as teams at significant plus money that I would look at to find a way in. I think this offense is going to be night and day from what we saw for most of last season when Kirk Cousins was unable to throw a football more than like 8 yards down the field. So I like the Falcons as a semi dark horse to win that division with the Bucks, you know, finishing either first or second. I think there could be a slight step back for Tampa Bay losing Liam Cohen. You know, Mike Evans is 32. Chris Godwin's coming off of an injury. There are some question marks for me there, but I have Tampa and Atlanta finishing 1-2 in some order. I would just take a look at Carolina to finish third again at plus 215, like not a major drop off in value to me. You know, Carolina obviously made significant progress over the second half of the season after Bryce Young, you know, got out of timeout and the brief Andy Dalton era was over. But I'm not sure year over year this is that much better of a roster. You know, they really need Tet McMillan to hit the ground running. If he doesn't, I think this passing game could still, you know, be a bottom 10, bottom 12 in the NFL. Still plenty of concerns about this defense, Jeff. Like that was something I think that flew under the radar because we were so focused on the Bryce Young situation and a new head coach. This was the worst defense in football by a lot. I mean, they allowed over 31 points per game. They gave up the most rushing yards of any defense in the last 45 years of NFL football. They gave up 66 more points than any other team. That's almost 4 more points per game than the next worst defense in the NFL. 8.5 more points per game given up than league average. So there's a ton of work that needs to be done defensively. And that is, you know, for the most part where they focused, you know, a lot of the middle rounds of their draft. But I have too many questions about this team on defense. I'm too high on the Atlanta Falcons to say that I would take Carolina to finish second.
Fair enough. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. We don't get enough Browns talk here on Beeson.
Yep.
The Browns will have zero. That's less than one. 0 wins after 5 weeks, plus 340. What say you, Nick?
So if you have read the fantastic VSiN NFL betting guide, you will know that I am very low on the Browns. I took the under on their win total in the betting guide. And part of the reason for that is despite being terrible and finishing last in the division last year, they have one of the three toughest schedules, however you shake it down, in the NFL. For their first 5 games come against playoff teams, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings. The other is week 1 against the Cincinnati Bengals, who did beat them twice last season. Yeah, the one big concern here, Jeff, and I know I'm saying this to a Bengals fan, is that they do play the Bengals in week 1, and the Bengals are 1-5 straight up in week 1 in the Zach Taylor era. That one victory came in 2021, and that was an overtime game against Minnesota. That was the year they ended up going to the Super Bowl. So like the Bengals do seem to have this like weird week 1 jinx, and that worries me. Like if the Browns do get a win in those first 5 games, I think that might be the one. You know, the Vikings game in week 5, that could be winnable. We'll see how we feel about JJ McCarthy at that point in the season. They get Green Bay at home in week 3. Maybe if you squint, that could be a winnable game. But regardless, man, I got to stick to my guns. I'm low on this Browns team. If I think they're going under the win total, I think it starts with a slow start here. So plus 340 to start the season 0-5. I'll lean into that tough schedule. We will play that one again at plus 340. We'll talk some MLB in a moment. But first, if you're serious about winning this football season, we just talked about it. The VSiN NFL betting guide is your first real edge, and it's available right now. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from your favorite VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all NFL season long. You can lock in our football special right now for just $175. You get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including every betting guide, daily best bet emails, 24/7 video, all the data, all the tools available to you over at VSiN.com. This early bird pricing expires in just a few weeks, July 31st. So don't wait. Sign up today. You'll get your copy of the NFL season betting guide instantly. You can do that at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right. We switch over to baseball, Jeff, as we continue play it or pass it. And we start with Cal Raleigh. We're looking at a long shot here. Cal Raleigh over 62 and a half home runs on the year. This is 15 to 1.
I mean, the price is pretty good price, but I'm still going to pass it. First of all, it's just a staggering number. I understand how consistent he's been. It's not like he's just riding 1 month. It was, you know, it was 12 in May. It was 11 in June. It was 9 in April. He's overcome that ballpark so far. But T-Mobile is such a tough place for power. 89 park factor for power, sixth worst in baseball over the last 3 years. I fear the toll of his position. I mean, the catcher just grinds you. I know he played 151 games last year. I think somewhere it's just going to take his toll, especially if he keeps playing at this rate and doesn't get any days off. I know they like to DH him on days he doesn't catch. I'm going to pass it, Nick. It's a good price, but I think I'm still going to pass. I think it's still a staggering number. I think I needed to be around 20 to 1 before I play it.
Let's take a look at the Houston Astros, Jeff. They have a 6.5 game lead in the AL West. Play it or pass it, the Astros to win the American League plus 350.
So this incorporates the playoffs, which is the thing that makes it a little tough for me here. They're playing very well right now. Their run prevention is great. They're getting by with a rotation that has been hamstrung by injury. They're getting by without any Jordan Alvarez. No left-handed hitters, period, really. No real full-time left-handed hitters. They got Victor Caratini, who's a switch hitter. That's basically it. That's the list. But, you know, the question is, you know, Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, I think you start off with those two. They need that third starter to get through the playoffs. Does Lance McCullers become it? Does Luis Garcia come off the IL? Does he become it? We've seen positive news on Christian Javier, Spencer Arrighetti. I think in just terms of volume, one of them pushes through and it makes it. And so I think they get that third playoff worthy starter. I'm going to play it at this price. I think it's a pretty decent price.
All right, we'll finish out with one more. We got like 20 seconds here, Jeff. The struggling New York Mets to miss the playoffs at 5-1. Play it or pass it.
I'm going to pass it. The reason is I think the Mets improve their roster at the trade deadline. They're going to get Sean Manaea back at some point in time. They just got Kodai Senga back. Montas is now back. I know they've had some setbacks. I think they figure things out. I think they get back on the train. They had a good weekend against the Yankees over the weekend. So I'm going to pass this one here. I know I like those high odd miss the playoff ones when we get a chance, as we've seen with the Braves, but I'm going to pass it.
We got to head to break. We got John McKechnie from RotoWire joining us next on the Progressive Guest Line. The football du jour talk. We'll talk division winners, win totals, who he likes to win the Super Bowl. We'll college football talk with John McKechnie as well. Coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prop Points rolls along here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We now head over to the Progressive Guest Line. We got one of our favorite guests joining us, a frequenter, I should say, of the show, John McKechnie, our NFL college football expert over at the newly redesigned rotowire.com. You can check him out on Twitter at John's_tailgate. John, great to have you back. Got a lot to get to here. Want to talk some NFL futures with you. I know you got a Super Bowl pick, you got some division winner bets for us, some win totals you're looking at, and then you wrote a great piece that's up at RotoWire right now, taking a look at some in-depth college football futures. But we'll start on the NFL side of things, John, and let's go to the win total market first. This is an interesting one that I want to make sure we have time for. You're looking at the Green Bay Packers, and you are looking at an alt number for Green Bay. So tell us your thought process and what you're looking at here at almost 3-1.
Yes, so I think that the normal posted total for the Packers is 8.5 or 9.5, if memory serves. But I'm a little bit cold on this Packers team. I think that you have a really, really challenging schedule. Obviously, the rest of the NFC North is a gauntlet. Have to cross over and play the AFC North as well. So that's a really tough schedule just right off the rip for this Packers team. And you know, I think furthermore, the offense, the pieces on hand, other than Josh Jacobs last year, just weren't really functioning. It was a clunky offense, I thought, for a lot of the year. I don't think that Jordan Love took the step forward that a lot of people, myself included, were anticipating, especially coming off of, you know, that Cowboys playoff game and pushing the Niners to the brink the year prior. And the defense was so reliant on turnovers, I thought, and that's not something that easily sticks from one year to the next. So I think that this is a good spot to say that the Packers maybe have a bit of a down year, especially if, you know, the Lions continue their winning ways, the Bears take a step forward, and the Vikings, you know, they end up being all right with J.J. McCarthy back there. So I'm looking at under 7.5 wins, which will get you about 3-1 are the odds for that. So I'm consider me a hater or a fader, however you want to put it. But I think the Packers take a bit of a step back in the win column this year.
Let's keep this hater cast going, because I like this sort of vibe. We were talking to the Browns just before this, too, about going winless in their first five. How about the Steelers? They made that big trade last week. They go get Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey. They're, I wouldn't say all in, because the Steelers are never really all in, but kind of all in. Yet the total still sticks around 8.5. What say you?
So I think that this is the year that it finally comes apart for Pittsburgh. I know the thing everyone always brings up with the Tomlin Steelers is never having the losing record. They always find a way, no matter what the talent looks like on the roster. They're always going to find their way to 9 wins in a 17 game schedule. So we're, you know, Vegas smartly putting that number right at 8.5. So you have to make that call. I think that this is the year that it does kind of ultimately fall apart. You got so much new to break in. Right now, I mean, you started the quarterback position. You have a new number one wide receiver. You got to figure out what to do with the two tight end situation now. Najee Harris, who had been such a bell cow for them in years past, he's out the door now. So, you know, how is that Jalen Warren, Caleb Johnson split going to look? You bring in Jalen Ramsey, but, you know, how good is he still at this point? I think Alex Highsmith is someone that maybe his, like, big year what was a bit of a fluke. You know, you got the TJ Watt drama kind of brewing as we head into training camp as well. So ultimately you have still a tough division. I think that, you know, you can kind of pencil them in for third in the North. It's going to be a tough schedule for them. They have to cross over and play the NFC North as well. And I just think that this Steelers team, there's just too much new for it to come together and really feel confident about them going over 500. So give me the under 8.5.
We're chatting with our friend John McKechnie, our NFL and college football betting expert over at rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive guest line. John, an interesting market to me is the worst record in the NFL options that we have up at the DraftKings Sportsbook right now. We got the Browns at 4-1. You got the Saints at +425. The Jets are 8-1. The Titans are 12-1. You're looking at another team sitting at 6-1.
I am looking squarely at the New York Football Giants. I think that, you know, the two teams that are the leaders in the clubhouse there, the Browns and the Saints, you know, that those are good cases to be made for them. But a lot of the times the teams that Vegas projects to be the worst, you know, like we saw it with the Panthers last year, they were not the worst team in football. So sometimes there can be a bit of a dead cat bounce there. But I think in the case of the Giants, they have a very difficult schedule. I think that they, according to Mike Clay's projections, have the fifth hardest schedule in the league this year. That's not great when you're a Giants team that, you know, is breaking in a new quarterback, maybe two, maybe three new quarterbacks. The defense, I think, is fine as far as like the front seven is concerned, but that secondary is ripe to get picked on. So anytime that they're not getting home to the quarterback, I think that they're at risk to give up big plays. And it's not an offense that I think has quite the requisite amount of firepower to play catch up. I think that, you know, this could be a situation where Russ continues his decline, gets them in a hole where you know, they're looking at like a 1-4, 1-5 start or worse. Then you move over to Jackson Dart. He's not going to be the savior, at least not right away. So this could be just a disaster season for the New York Giants. And I'm interested in that at a, you know, +600, whereas, you know, again, you're just getting a better number than the Saints, who obviously could be in the running for that. in the Browns. But I think ultimately also some of the wins, Jim Coventry actually pointed this out in his win totals article for the Giants that's up on RotoWire right now. The winnable games, they're all on the road too. So there's just no reprieve for this Giants team where you can feel comfortable about them stacking wins at any point.
Who gets a win first, the Browns or the Giants?
You know what? For the sake of my segment here, I'm gonna give me the Brownies. Give me the Brownies to get one on the board before the Giants. I think it's going to be a really ugly start to the season for the Giants, and it's going to be a really ugly finish for the Giants as well.
All right, John, you man up a lot of our college football content over at RotoWire, so I want to make sure we give some time to that side of things. Tell us a couple of teams when you're looking at the national championship market. And I know we've already had pretty significant movement as far as when those lines open versus where they sit right now. But who are your best bets? I know you're looking at a couple of Big Ten teams, not really all that in on Oregon, however. So take this wherever you want, but your best bets to win the national championship at this juncture.
So I think that Ohio State makes sense at 5-1. You know, they have the tough game against Texas right off the jump, but that is in Columbus. They're breaking in a new quarterback. They got Julian Sayin taking over as opposed to, you know, last year they had a very experienced guy transfer in Will Howard. So they could very well lose that game. And then, you know, you have another buying opportunity where the odds shift after week one. Maybe you end up getting them at like 6-1, something like that after week one. But I think by the time that we get to December, Ohio State is going to be, we're not going to see a number even remotely close to this, I don't think. So I think Ohio State is a good bet to make right now. And there hasn't been a ton of movement necessarily. It makes sense that this offseason just yet. But one team that has kind of ticked up is Penn State. And I'm interested in jumping on this now before things change, because they have a huge game against Oregon at the end of September. And I think if and when, in my opinion, they win that game, that's going to be the whiteout game in Happy Valley. So it's going to be a really hostile environment for an Oregon team that is putting a lot of new pieces in there and a young quarterback in their own right in Dante Moore. Penn State, one of the few teams that you can look at it as far as like the national championship contenders and say they have legitimate continuity. They really do. They've got their quarterback back for a third year as the starter. They've got the best backfield in college football coming back. They do need to fix that receiving room. Tyler Warren being lost is obviously a huge, you know, question mark for this offense. But otherwise, I think that, you know, this is a Penn State team that can bank 11 wins in the regular season and really, you know, set themselves up extremely well for the college football playoff and to actually kind of get over that hump that has been kind of evading James Franklin for a long time. And then one other one, a little bit of a longer shot that I'd like to give out on that continuity front is Clemson. Clemson's a team that's got a nasty, nasty front four, kind of harkens back to those days where they were winning national championships with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. And then on the other side, Cade Klubnik back for another year as the starter, one of the most dynamic wide receiver rooms in college football. The only real question mark we have with Clemson right now is their ability to run the ball. But if that's really your big question mark, I think you're doing okay pretty much otherwise. So I like Clemson at 11-1, especially in a very soft, winnable ACC.
John McKechnie, everybody, you can check out all of his picks over at rotowire.com. You can see that full article breaking down the national championship odds. And you can, of course, find him on Twitter at Johns_tailgate. Folks, you need a proxy? You can join the world's biggest football contest with just one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million over the last 2 years. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Go check out winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Baseball picks from Jeff Erickson coming your way next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here. Nick Whalen is from Wisconsin. Wyatt Tomchek, our producer, has some Wisconsin roots. So we have a bonus play it or pass it here.
Oh,
play it or pass it. Cops flavor of the day, cookies and cream. Play it or pass it, Nick Whalen.
Well, to give some context here, in the Milwaukee area, Cops is just your classic, kind of walk up ice cream shop. You know, it looks like a hole in the wall, but, you know, really high quality ice cream, and, you know, has a few locations around the Milwaukee area. So anybody who has Wisconsin roots hopefully knows what we're talking about here. I got to say, Jeff, and I'm hesitant to state this on television, I'm not a big dessert guy really at all. I very rarely indulge in something like an ice cream cone or, you know, a blizzard or whatever you call those things. I don't even know what the term is because I don't eat them very often, but I've had them in the past. Every now and then I will dive in. Look, cookies and cream, you can't go wrong. Really high floor flavor. You know, the type of flavor that's never going to let you down. You're never going to regret getting cookies and cream. Would it be at the top of my list? It wouldn't. I'm more of a Reese's Pieces guy. You could just go with the classic M&Ms. You know, I think there's something to be said, you know, when those get blended up in the freezing cold ice cream, you know, they harden a little bit, they add a little bit of texture to whatever you're eating. So Reese's Pieces would be number one. M&Ms, especially peanut or peanut butter M&Ms, if you can find those. We're looking at the orange bag with the peanut butter. That would be ideal. Can never go wrong with cookie dough, but cookies and cream to me, you know, on the periphery of the top three. Again, more of a high floor, low ceiling type of flavor.
See, I am a big ice cream guy, and it's probably, I'm becoming bigger, literally, unfortunately, but my daughter works at a fantastic ice cream place here in Southern California called Handles. So she gets to bring home a free pint after every shift. So, which is great. And it's high quality ice cream too. That's the only thing that's pretty great. So anyways, perfect transition to talking baseball, huh?
Yeah. Well, we got a nice Tuesday night slate coming our way here, Jeff. So let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get some of your best bets for the night. Starting the American League, fun pitching matchup. Logan Gilbert going up against Will Warren, Mariners, Yankees tonight. Yankees are favored on the money line. Total coming in at 9 over at DraftKings. I know you got a Will Warren prop for us.
I do. I think some background on this game, too, is important. First of all, rain is in the forecast in this game. Pay attention to that. It's here. It's in St. Louis. It's the White Sox home game. The Orioles and the Red Sox, all where rain may be of varying issues. Make sure to pay attention to that closer to lineup lock for DFS purposes and also for our betting purposes. Maybe you get a little skittish around some of these pitchers because, you know, rain is not the friend of the starting pitching prop. That's for sure. Logan Gilbert's very interesting on the Yankees side. The Mariners side real quick. He's only made 3 road starts because of injuries this year. 6 ERA, 1.53 whip on the road, 4 homers allowed. However, he is a huge strikeout guy. Unfortunately, I looked at that there, and I looked at trying to find a Gilbert strikeout prop, and it was just too high for me. So stayed away from that. Instead, I'm going to go on the Warren side. I'm going to fade Warren on the strikeouts. I'm going to go the under 5.5 Ks. A couple of things here. Seattle's still an excellent road hitting team. 336 WOBA, 116 WRC+. They strike out 24.5% of the time at home, but on the road, with the better hitting backgrounds, is 21.2%. I think that's one of the things about T-Mobile. We talk about the power stats, but it's the strikeout stats are really high in Seattle because of that batter's eye is not so great. Total opened at 8 in this game. It's now up to 9. So I kind of avoided the total because of that, but I am going to go the Will Warren under 5.5 Ks at plus 104. Saw this on FanDuel first. I think DraftKings came out with one. It was at plus 100 last I checked. Check around, search around, get that best price. Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay Rays are facing off against the Detroit Tigers tonight. Ryan Pepiot going up against Jack Flaherty. Jeff, you just gave us an under 5.5 strikeout prop. I know you're looking at the over 5.5 for Pepiot.
Yeah, indeed. So I wanted to look at Pepiot, and he's been really good for the most part this year, especially lately. However, did get bombed by the Orioles two starts ago in Camden Yards. But besides that, you know, major K upside there. At least 7 Ks in 5 out of his last 6, and considerably more too. He had an 11 strikeout game in there. He had another one at 9. Point is, he's had a lot of high strikeout games. You know, the game, you look at the game log, 8, 9, 11, 7, 1 in that blow-up start, and then 9 again in his last start out against the Athletics. So I think over 5.5 is gettable for us here. The number is at minus 110, so that's a fairly good price for a gettable number. I like that one quite a bit. I thought about trying to fade Jack Flaherty. He's really struggled over the last 30 days, 7.88 ERA, 1.67 whip. But he was better in his last couple of outings, and I just think he's better at home. Detroit's better at home, so I eventually decided not to fade Flaherty, but I could see the logic in doing so still.
LA Dodgers looking to get back on the right side of things tonight, Jeff. They've dropped four in a row, lost 9-1 in game one of this series against Milwaukee yesterday. Freddie Peralta was on the mound. Tonight we get Clayton Kershaw going up against Jacob Mizorowski, and rough start for Mizorowski last time out against the New York Mets. He's looking to bounce back. Really hard to judge what you're going to get out of Clayton Kershaw these days in terms of how long he's going to remain in the game. We do have the Dodgers as road favorites on the money line. I know you're taking a look at the total at 8.5.
Yeah. And that, by the way, the money line's down to -122. I think it was like 137 earlier there. So, or 127 earlier. So some money going in on the Milwaukee side of things. It's now +100 for Milwaukee. If you're looking for a money line, if you think the streak continues, Yamamoto couldn't get out of the first. That means that bullpen was worked hard, which means they're going to try to get Kershaw some length in this one. I think it might work, though. I think the Brewers are a little worse against lefties, middle of the pack team against lefties. Kershaw went 6 last time. He's gone 6-6-5-7, I think, in his last 4 starts. So they need him to get that length after Yamamoto's outing yesterday. So I think that's part of it. On the Dodgers side, too, still no Teoscar Hernandez yesterday, no Tommy Edman yesterday. Kiki Hernandez went on the IL. Obviously, they're already without Max Muncy, so this lineup isn't as long. They're still very top-heavy. You still got the big, you know, the big top of the lineup. They're the big five. I'll include Páez as part of the big five now in that lineup. But the bottom 4 spots of that lineup aren't so strong. So I kind of like the under on this one. I think Mizorowski bounces back. I think Kershaw is pretty decent in this one. So under 8.5 at -105 seems like a decent price for me. So let's go under on this game, under 8.5.
Let's move on to the Rangers and the Angels. This one out in LA. Rangers slight favorites on the money line. Total coming in at 8. Jose Soriano on the hill for LA. Nathan Eovaldi in that 1.75 ERA heading out for Texas. I know we're looking at a strikeout prop for Eovaldi here in this spot, Jeff.
Yeah, and I also think the more I think about it, I think I like the under in this one, too. I think Eovaldi's a solid pitcher. Soriano is kind of over the map a little bit. Was really good in his last time out. He got bombed a couple starts ago, I think maybe 3 starts ago. But I'm just going to focus on the Angels here. They're still a all-or-nothing sort of offense. 25.9% K percentage against right-handed pitching. I know Eovaldi only went 5 last time. I think he goes a little longer this time. I like the alt line on his strikeouts, over 6.5 Ks. At +125. I know the over-under over on DraftKings is set at 5.5, but it's like a -150, -160 price. Mm-hmm. I don't really like paying that sort of high price. So I'll go one more strikeout higher, a little riskier, but I think he goes deeper into the game this time, and he'll get that enough to get that extra strikeout.
All right, real quick, Jeff, we got one more for you. Phillies Giants, another good pitching matchup. Taijuan Walker going up against Robbie Ray. Tell me why you like the under here.
I like Robbie Ray. He's coming off a great start in his last outing. I like him at home. I like this ballpark. Unfortunately, they don't get Phil Cuzzy behind the plate. Don't ask any Phillies fans about Phil Cuzzy and his performance last night. But it's still under 8 runs. I like that at -116.
Got a couple more plays coming your way to wrap up the show. Our G-Bank Best Bets of the Night. Introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription, taking you all the way to October 31st. That's a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and Visa. You can head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank to check out all the details. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today over at VSiN.com/GBank. Terms and conditions apply. Jeff, your best bet of the night, please.
Let's go with that Ryan Pepiot strikeout prop. Over 5.5 Ks. Against the Detroit Tigers, not a great strikeout team, but still, I like Pepiot. This is a bet on Pepiot at -110.
I'm taking the Cubs money line on the road at Minnesota tonight, -130 over at ESPN Bet. Shohei Imanaga on the hill, did give up 3 home runs last time out, but I like this spot for him against that hot and cold Twins lineup. Cubs, one of the best road teams in Major League Baseball, and Jeff, I'm fiending for an NBA bet. So I'm going to get an early win total in the Miami Heat over 37.5 wins, minus 105 right now at the DK Sportsbook. That's going to wrap it up for Prop Points here on this Tuesday. Stay tuned. Make it rain with Keith Irizarry coming up next on the Sports Betting Network.